William, the Stargate then seems to come into all of these. And I want you to address that, if you can, for a little bit, because as Lawrence pointed out, that maybe the Anunnaki might have been time travelers or dimensional travelers. Didn't you need a mechanism to do that, and could that have been the Stargate?
Well, yes, most definitely. And in fact, the current model for Stargates is of a cylindrical tube, a sort of transportation system. We've talked about it being represented in the movie Stargate and in Contact. And so that's the image, and this is based upon modern physics and wormhole designers saying this is what we feel that these theoretical wormholes would actually look like. So what I do is I go back and I look for references to gods and goddesses entering the earth plane through gateways.
Uh-huh.
And lo and behold, what do you find? But these gateways are the interface between earth and a cylindrical or tube-shaped symbol. Very often you will find that gods and goddesses represented as half human and half serpent. And the question is, why? What is the meaning of that serpent? Is it a reference to the sexual energy, the kundalini energy of our mystic anatomy? Or could it possibly be that these are logos, if you will, symbols for an ancient science of stargates and wormholes? In fact, that's one of the things I'm doing right now, because we remember that it was John Major Jenkins who informed us that based upon his research into the Mayan codexes that in 2012, a serpent rope is going to emerge from the center of our Milky Way galaxy, and out of this serpent rope is going to emerge an enlightened being.
Which could be a wormhole, right?
Which could be a wormhole. And so what I'm doing, and I'll have an article on this soon, is I'm going back and finding just tremendous references to a serpent rope in Egyptian as well as Sumerian symbolism, even more than I've ever found before. They call it the ship of the gods, the ship of heaven. And they're always in connection with the center of the Milky Way galaxy. The difference is the Sumerians and the Egyptian records indicate that this is something that happened in the past. The Mayan records prophesy that this is something that is going to happen in our near future, but was at one time their distant future.
Well, with these stargates, William, did people have the ability, do you think, to walk through it, or did they have to be in a craft to get through it? What did they use for that transition?
Well, both. And if I can tell a tale or tell a story here, I just remember, Lawrence, when in one of my presentations, when I put up this picture of the goddess Ishtara, who's standing in front of this pillar. There's clearly some kind of a flying craft above her, and this is a depiction that goes back 4,000 years. And what we see is a serpentine figure that's either exiting from or emanating from this pillar, clearly indicating that the pillar, the antenna, a craft, and some form of perhaps a wormhole, a conduit, is involved in this depiction. I remember Lawrence just kind of marveling at that, because it is absolutely a jaw-dropping illustration.
Oh, yeah, those antiquity pictures just drive you crazy when you see them, don't they?
It clearly indicates that there was some kind of a flying vehicle involved. Now, whether that's what we would term a UFO today, or whether that is what the mystically minded call the Merkaba vehicle, mm-hmm. the space-time light vehicle of the human body, we're not certain.
It could be a time machine.
It could well be a time machine. What my research reveals, and this is the interface between science, spirituality, and mysticism, is that while today modern physicists concern themselves with how to protect the wormhole rider from the exotic matter of which this wormhole tube will be constructed, the ancient stories indicate that they focused more on transforming the human that was going to enter that wormhole. And the transformation that was undergone was emotional, it was physical, it was spiritual, and it was a medical transformation.
So he might not look the way he went in
right.
when he comes out.
Right. And it appears that the white powder was part of the process. So too were the blue stones that cause enlightenment.
So you might need the white powder to make this journey?
Yes, I would definitely say that is so.
Yeah, I mean, one of the amazing things about the white powder that intrigued me was, in fact, its own ability to actually move into another space-time dimension. And this, in fact, has become quite big news over here now, not to do with the white powder as such, but to do with these space-time vortices, entrances and exits from other dimensions, or some scientists call them other universes. And, you know, they're saying that actually that there are space-time dimensions that exist a millimeter away from us. We just don't feel them within our vibration because they're in a different vibrational sequence. Now, we know that by creating these flux tube vortices, what one can actually move things into these other realms and bring them back again. So when one's looking at time travel, for example, and one looks at the ancient gods, the Anunnaki, or even people, you know, whoever people are, they have to die somewhere. I mean, in America now, my friend Robert Goswolf has been making some pretty amazing discoveries there. Bodies, even, of very, very tall people, of quite unusual strain to be found in America, who seem to have been buried way back in the distant past. Now, although they appear to have been buried in the distant past, are they from the past, or were they perhaps from the future? We don't actually know.
We don't know, exactly.